if you support others that are successful in something, the only thing that you're doing is creating more people successful in something. That if you grow as a person, you can bring other people to grow with you.
Hey there, it's Angela, and I'm so glad you found your way here to architecting. Creative careers can be stressful, and it's hard to be vulnerable, but this is your landing pad for raw honesty. I'll help you get clarity, reconnect with your passion, and have the career of your dreams. If you're ready to make a difference, have an impact, and say bye-bye to burnout, stick with me, and let's get architecting. Hey, Bright Lights, it's Angela, and welcome back to architecting. We are celebrating women in architecture all month, and I am so excited to have as my guest today, Graciela Carrillo, who is senior manager at Nassau BOCES. She's also an author, a speaker, podcast host for the Immigrant Architects Coalition podcast, 2024 moderator for the AIA Strategic Council. She won the 2022 Young Architect Award and was two-year president in 2020 and 2021 of AIA's Long Island chapter. And she currently is the co-chair of that chapter's Women in Architecture Committee. Welcome.
Thank you, Angela. I'm very excited for the invitation to be part of your podcast and the opportunity that you are giving me to have my voice heard by other people.
You definitely are somebody who has been a strong advocate throughout your career. It's amazing how much you do above and beyond working as an architect. Why do you think it is so important to put that level of energy and effort into doing all of these extra kinds of things?
I think it's important because we as a community, we need to come up with this collective effort of advocate for the profession, advocate for a more diverse equity business. And if you don't get involved and if you don't have your voice at different tables, then what is your contribution? I think we all need to contribute to different causes. It's important to find what you're passionate about. And then once you identify that, go for it, you know, find the resources, find the people. Something that I know very much that is important is that you don't make impact or you don't create impact or action by yourself. You always need a team. I call, like, for instance, in Long Island chapter, I have my tribe. We have a group of women that support each other a lot, and we do great things for other women and for ourselves. So it's really important to find your support group and then get involved and start working on whatever you like.
I love that you mentioned having a support group or a network. I think that is something that a lot of people overlook the importance of in their career. They think, I don't like this, or I wish this or that was different, but I don't know what to do. Can you talk a little bit about how finding other people who are like-minded helps empower everybody?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think because it's not a one-person job, like I just said. Think about something that you don't like or you don't feel comfortable or you think that there is a lack of support. And that's how I have created a way of changing things or creating that impact. So I'm going to just give you an example. At my local chapter, it was a very male predominant chapter and white male. That's how the data was. There were too little of women, and those women, they really never show up to our events. I was the only woman on the board for, I would say, maybe 7 years. There was no other one. At the beginning, there was one, but she stepped down. So I was like, where are they? So because of that, I said, well, we have to create this group where we are going to start bringing women to the table, getting that support network. And I created that group with Abra Sulker in 2017. I went to the Women's Leadership Summit at that time, and I came back so empowered and so inspired to bring that to my community that we created the committee. And after we created the committee, then women started attending the chapter meetings. We started doing events for women, providing resources, a support group. And now, when you look at the board of AIA Long Island, 50% are women and 50% are men. And our current president-elect is a woman, Renee Marcus. That's when you created the impact and the change, when you provide that support group. I love that example, but I like also examples with data, with numbers that represent your impact. And in this case was one woman in a board of nine people, and now five women and five men. And that's a huge change because now the membership feels that they are represented by gender and also diversity. We have different ethnicities in other board, and I think that's very important too. It's not only to bring the women to the table, but a diverse group of women. So that's why I always highlight the fact that you need to find your support group to make things happen.
What you're saying is exactly right. When people feel that they are represented, that they belong, then it becomes meaningful for them to be part of it. When they feel that they don't, they can certainly find other things to do. But you've really been willing to be on the forefront of all of this to say, if I see a problem, I'm not just going to complain about it, because I'm sure you were not the only one who saw these issues, but you were the one that took action. What made you feel like you should do it? You know, like it's that whole, if not you, who? Why were you willing to raise your hand when others weren't?
It has to be with my own feeling that I don't belong here. I'm an immigrant. I'm a Latina woman. So I felt within my community of architecture like I didn't belong, like I didn't have someone that I could relate to regarding the background, the race, and the gender. So when you find things that you feel that your community is lacking of, I think it's very important to take a step forward and create the way to fix that problem that is causing you. But what you don't know or you're not aware of is that maybe someone else is feeling the same way that you're feeling, that they don't feel that belonging to the community. So another example, I didn't really have too many immigrant peers in this community. And when we co-founded the Immigrant Architects Coalition, now I'm surrounded of them. Like I found my community within that immigrant world in where we all come from different backgrounds, cultures, and we are all adapting to the culture in the States. So it's really important that, again, when you find that item, topic that is bothering you or that it doesn't work for you, find the means to be proactive and generate change.
That's something I've certainly done. I've raised my hand for things I probably had no business volunteering for, because from the outside, you could say, what really makes you qualified? And similar to you, it was just that I care about the issue. And I really want to stress to everyone listening that you qualify yourself. You qualify yourself by being the one willing to say that we need a change, to convene the other people. What makes your story so powerful is that you were willing to reach out. And like you said, the minute you did, it magnetized people, whether it was immigrant architects, women architects, but it took being willing to say, I'll be the one to do it. A lot of times, people don't raise your hand because they say, I don't have time. I have too much other stuff going on, or I'm not qualified. Let somebody else do it. What do you have to say to that?
Oh, I always tell everybody, say yes to everything. I mean, at some point, you need to learn how to say no to some things because there's so much going on that you need to start prioritizing where your energy is going to go to. But the way I started my advocacy role and career path or leadership path was really by saying yes to any opportunity that people told me. So let's collaborate on this. Let's speak together at this. Let's go and talk to someone about an issue. Let's bring value, our own value, to this group of people so we get to know each other and create that network so we collectively can do something together. Even if you're busy, even if you think that, but what is that that I could do to help, you know? Just say yes. And then what happens is by you saying yes and maybe working on that initiative, program, collaboration, whatever it is, you will see that another opportunity is going to come from that. It's actually very interesting. I just came back from attending the AIA Leadership Summit, and I was talking to someone from California, and that person was asking me, like, okay, so you are the moderator of the Strategic Council this year. What is your plan for the next 4 years? And I told that person, I said, well, I really don't have a plan right now. Like when I take opportunities, it's because when I'm doing something, something else opened. So for instance, last year I was the strategic counselor for New York State, and a few people started telling me in the middle of the year, you should run for moderator. You could be doing a really good role on that position. So I run for that and I was elected. So this year I'm like, I'm really not sure what I'm gonna do in the next 3, 4 years. Something is gonna come up this year that I'm probably going to say yes. And that's gonna be my role next time. So I always see things that if I get involved with something, opportunities will come. And if I say yes and I succeed, great. If I fail, it's fine. I'm learning from my own failures. And that's also good. You can never see that as a bad thing. I learn a lot when I fail on things. And it actually is good to know why you fail, what happened, and what can you do in the future to avoid that failure.
Could you give an example of something where maybe it didn't go the way you hoped, but what you gained out of having that experience?
That's a really interesting question. I would say when I started being involved as a leader within the architectural community, because I didn't have all the resources, because I was not really trained, I was just, oh, let's do this, like say yes to whatever they ask. So I co-founded the Emerging Professionals Committee with my friend Jake Rivalsi in 2015. That was the first initiative that I did like by myself with him, and I was feeling very proud. The reason why we created that committee was because, again, there was no young people in the chapter. We were the only two young people in the board, and we're like, where are the young professionals? Like, this can't be happening. So we opened the committee. It's not that it was a failure, because to this day, the committee is very successful. It's been a lot of co-chairs over the years. We stepped down, I don't even remember when, maybe 2019 or 20. But at the beginning, we failed in different ways or in different opportunities. Sometimes let's host this event or happy hour at the expo in Long Island when we were doing the expo fair, and one people show up. You said, what happened? Like, why is that they don't want to come to, gather with us? So as we go, we learn, okay, we need to do more outreach. We need to talk like in person to people. It's not just emails. They don't look at emails. You need to create that connection and that personal like relationship to the people that you will provide a value and they will benefit from that. That is some examples from different failures that we have. But as I said, as we went, I learned a lot on what needs to be done. So the next time I got involved in an initiative, I had at least that background experience. Well, okay, this didn't go well, so let's just don't do it again.
Right. I think it's that how you do anything is how you do everything. And there are lessons to be learned everywhere. I want to go back though to a point you made about not having an agenda or a plan, because a lot of people would think to be successful, you have to have all the answers. I think what you've shown is not only do you not need to be an expert in order to make a difference, but it probably is more valuable to not have a plan because then you are open to opportunities versus trying to push something through that may not really be resonating.
That's totally true, and I truly believe in that. I like to act in an organic way, natural way, meaning let the things flow. I have very clear my priorities. My priorities are advocating for immigrant architects, for women, for Latinas. So if anything comes my way that is related to that, I'm going to jump right away. If there is something else, I will probably explore it too. So, depending on what decisions I make throughout the year, let's say, that's going to lead me to the following year, what I will be doing. So, I don't plan way too much in advance. But in another way, I have my own planning, but it's not a set goal that I want to get there. It's more like I know I probably want to run for the board of directors at National. My plan is to run from the strategic council for that position. But if I see that something else comes that is also important for me, I'm going to maybe make that decision. So I have like long-term goals, but I'm not set, like you just said, to just go for that. I'm open to whatever else comes my way.
And that is something a lot of times people miss. You know, if they put themselves out there, if they're vulnerable and they fail, they take it as the clue that they did the wrong thing. What I'm always trying to talk about is that failure is how we learn, and that just like if you were riding a bike, you wouldn't take every time you fell to mean that you shouldn't keep trying to ride. It just means something different will come along. And I think you even mentioned sometimes when we don't get what we think we want, it's because something better was meant to be happening. And if we had committed by getting the thing we thought we wanted, we wouldn't have been available for the more important opportunity.
Yes, definitely. I agree with you on that.
Saying yes has ultimately led to you at a pretty young age being able to be recognized as an advocate, but also a leader and to a lot of opportunities. How did you become an author? What led you down that path?
That was just a crazy idea. So we co-founded the Immigrant Architects Coalition as a nonprofit organization last year. So it's a very new organization. But we started the coalition in 2019. We had a session in Vegas where the three of us, Shahaz Sadegh, Yunlok Law, and myself, we are the co-founders of the coalition. We had a session where we talk about immigrant architects, how to prosper in the US. And we talk about different things, cultural bias, how to get a job here, what type of visas there are, interviews, a lot of different things. And it was a very success event, I think. We had a lot of people in that room. It was one of those lectures on Saturday, like at 9 in the morning, where nobody goes because Friday was the big party. So everybody's like hangover. So we were not expecting too many people, yet the room was full of immigrants. And that was amazing. And you know how sessions end and everybody leaves because, oh, I gotta get out of here, an hour and a half of talking, you know, I just gotta go. Well, the session ended and we had a line of people that they wanted to talk to us. The actual people from the conference kick us out, like, you gotta go. We have another session coming up. You gotta go. So we were like, wow. So we identified that there was really that need of a support group within the immigrant architects groups. So that's why we started the coalition. And we started just by speaking at state conventions, local chapter events, universities. We talked to universities where they have like number of international students. we did that for a few years. And then I was invited by Alicia Ponce to be part of her book, Latinas in Architecture. She wrote a book of 20 stories of different Latinas across the country, coming from different countries from Central and South America. And when she did that, we said, oh, this is a great idea to do something similar with immigrants. And that's why we put together the first book, City Shapers, Stories of Immigrant Designers. It's on Amazon if you want to get it. We show the stories of 24 successful architects and designers in this country, and they come from all over the world. We launched that book in 2022, and in about 2 months from now, we're launching a second book. It's going to be a handbook for immigrant architects, and it's going to be like a 101 class of things that you should do when you come to this country and you have an architectural background or you're an architect in your country. That's going to be a really good resource for anybody that plans to come to this country or that is here already and they are looking for guidance on how to prosper in their career. And of course, we're going to work in a second volume of the City Shapers. It's just a passion that I have for highlighting the voices of other people. I don't really write about me. I support more writing your story so it can be heard and it can help someone else. Someone else can get inspired by your story, or if they're going through some hardships, maybe they are going to identify with your story because you went through the same. And those stories always tell how they overcame obstacles so people can relate to someone and try to overcome those challenges.
So powerful because when you do that, you help people see that they are not alone, but you also foster a cooperative, co-creative, helpful environment versus a lot of what we see in our profession, which is competitiveness. So when you see somebody doing better than you, rather than viewing them as your competition, you're being jealous. You're showing, no, this is the way. That person, their example is showing you how you can get there.
Yes, that's exactly what it is. It's you can create that collaborative work if you support each other, if you support others that are successful in something. The only thing that you're doing is creating more people successful in something. We are here not competing. This is not a project's experience. This is a life experience. This is a professional leadership experience. I am a true believer that if you grow as a person, you can bring other people to grow with you. That's very important because that's what makes our community strong.
Another part of that is finding that mentorship or that sponsor, that person within your organization or your firm that's going to also try to help you grow in your career. What advice do you have for people on how to not only find a mentor and a sponsor, but how to really take advantage of that relationship?
There are two ways of finding a mentor. The first type is the typical mentoring program. There are mentoring programs at different organizations, at different cities, but not everybody can get into those mentoring programs. They are not available to everyone. I also think that those mentoring programs are great, but they are like a short-term mentoring because they last for 2, 3 months. And if there was not a good connection in between the mentor and the mentee, I know that that relationship of mentor mentee, it's gonna end right there when the program ends. They did learn from each other because the mentee is not the only person that is getting the value. The mentor is also getting it. I'm not saying that the mentoring programs are bad. I actually support, and I am a planning committee member of Arquetina, which we have a great mentoring program. But if you don't have a well-established relationship with your mentor, that relationship, it ends right there. So that's one way. You can explore it and you will find mentors that way if you can access those mentoring programs. The other way, which is the way that I have done it actually, is organic. And what does that mean? You just meet people along your professional path. And if you identify someone that you admire a lot, that you want to learn from, you start first reading about them or just following them. If they are public speakers or they have amazing projects. So keep an eye on those things to learn and then try to establish that connection. So once you establish that connection and you meet that person, then you're not going to meet them and, oh my God, I admire you, blah, blah, blah. No, you are also bringing some value to them. You need to be very intentional on what you want to get from that connection. And as you develop that relationship, it will be translated into a mentor-mentee relationship. It happened to me with many of my mentors. One specifically, Kelly Hayes McCallon. She's a fellow at the Institute. I met her when she was serving at the AIA New York State as the Strategic Council representative. As we started just collaborating on things, one day she realized, and I realized she was mentoring me. Like, I have followed everything that she tells me, you should be good at this. Why don't you pursue this? And I now have the position that she also has. And this is just by coincidence. One day she's like, oh my God, Graciela, you're a senior manager of facilities. I am the director of planning of facilities for, the University of Buffalo. I'm like, oh my God, Kelly, that is so funny. I ended up doing the same. She encouraged me to apply for the Young Architect Award. I did it. I got it. So I have my mentors that they see that potential in me, but I also bring them some sort of value. So it's a two-way relationship where we're learning from each other. That would be my advice. I like more the organic mentoring relationship because sometimes the other ones don't last that long.
True. A lot of times, even though there are many great programs out there, and like you, I would encourage people to get involved. I'm in several of them as a mentor, but I think their real value is helping you meet a broader cross-section of people you wouldn't otherwise meet. But I do think the real powerful mentorships happen when you and someone else have something deeply in common that causes you to naturally work together. And then you do both benefit from that relationship. I love that you shared that story and that you are just like the Energizer bunny here of what you do. Going back to this idea of saying yes, willing to raise your hand, when you do things that you are passionate about, first of all, you know the difference between what's a yes for you and what's a no for you. But the things that are that yes give you energy and continue to expand exponentially. And I think your whole career is showing exactly how that works.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's really important that when you find those things that you're passionate about, how do you correlate that into your daily work? I say that all of us, we have like two lives, our professional work life and our volunteer life. Sometimes they don't correlate. Like in my case, like I'm an advocate for immigrants, women, Latinas. So how does that relate to my work, what I do at facilities with schools? Well, in my case, that relationship is that by my work in advocacy and involved in different organizations, AIA, Immigrant Architects Coalition, Arquitinas, all those skills that I'm developing while I'm doing any initiative with those organizations are then applied to my work. Because first, I become a better leader. So I will be probably a better leader within my work as a manager of capital projects. I have to manage a large group of people, sometimes several consultants, five or six contractors in one project. So it's very important that you have the skills to manage not only a large project, but a large group of people. Because if you're not a good leader, they're not going to follow you. Even though if you are the owner of the project and you're not a good leader, it's going to be difficult that they follow you. It's really important to translate all the skills that I can develop while I'm advocating at different organizations to then my work, to be a better professional, to be more inclusive, and put those concepts back into the profession. They didn't stay at the organizational level. They now come to my work, to my group of people, where now I'm going to be that advocate within my work.
It's that whole, when you decompartmentalize your life like that, you really find that a win in one area is a win for everything, and that you can keep leveraging skill sets and even your network that you've been building and the people you know and the resources you're aware of. Everything just keeps expanding. Thank you so much, Graciela, for sharing your story. I don't know how anyone can listen to it and not be impressed. You are a real powerhouse, and I'm always waiting to see what you will do next, because I know you will always be doing something big. That's just how you are. But I think you've also shown us that we all can do big things, that it's not about having years and years and years of experience or special credentials. It's just about leveraging who you are as a person and what issues matter to you and being willing to keep saying yes.
Thank you, Angela. It's been really a pleasure to talk to you. I also admire you a lot. I've been following you over the years. I think the work that you're doing is amazing. And thank you for giving this platform for us to have a voice in the community. I hope people get inspired. That's ultimately my mission, just to inspire other people to follow the same role or whatever role they find passionate about.
Well, you are doing it, definitely. So if people want to know more about you or get involved with any of the many things that you talked about today, how can they reach out to you?
So they can reach out to me through LinkedIn, find Graciela Carrillo. Make sure you put the two R's and the two L's in my last name. That's a big issue with my last name. They can find me also on Instagram. My Instagram is Grace Cole. And also on the website, immigrantarchitects.org. That's the website for my organization. So you can find information on our books. Right now, we actually have a scholarship for students. So if any international student is listening to this, please apply. And in the future, we will also have scholarships for people that are going through the ARE testing. So keep an eye on that. And in the future, again, we're going to open a mentoring program for immigrant architects. So there is a lot of things going on at the coalition. So I would love people to find us and get involved.
We'll definitely put all of those links in the show notes as well. But everyone, it means so much when you share the insights that you got. So definitely, after you hear this episode, share what it meant to you, what you learned from it, what you're going to do differently, and tag Graciela. I know she would really appreciate hearing from you. Thank you again. I loved having you as my guest today, and I'm sure our audience is going to get so much out of listening to everything that you shared and by following you and continuing to see where you take things. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Angela.
Thanks for listening. If you want even more content, head on over to architectingpodcast.com and subscribe to my newsletter and get some great free downloads while you're there. Be sure to follow me on social media, on Instagram at Architecting Podcast, Facebook and LinkedIn pages are Architecting, and the YouTube channel, Architecting Podcast. Stay inspired.